Multi-device video editing sync, web, iOS, iPad, and native off. A technical guide to multi-device video editing sync across web, iOS, iPad, and native apps with user-scoped state, bearer tokens, deep links, media provenance, and reliable off handoff. Sync is a product contract. Multi-device video editing sync sounds simple until the editor has real media, real projects, and real users. A notes app can synchronize small text records. A video editor has source files, timeline clips, transcripts, frame analysis, generated assets, AI edit runs, upload sessions, render outputs, share links, and device-specific preview state. If those objects are not tied to one authenticated user and one canonical project graph, every device becomes a separate island. Sync is a product contract. VibeChopper treats Sync as a product contract, not a cosmetic cloud feature. The web editor, iOS app, iPad app, and native desktop app all need to agree on who the user is, which projects that user owns, which media records are available, which long-running jobs are still active, and which rendered artifacts are safe to show. That means off, storage, API shape, cache invalidation, object storage, and deep links are all part of the same sync story. Sync is a product contract. The key architectural choice is to avoid making any single device the source of truth. A browser tab can be the best place to upload, preview, and ask the AI editor for changes. An iPhone can be the fastest place to review a shot or check a link. An iPad can be the best inspection surface for a timeline and transcript. A native desktop app can feel better for heavier workflows. None of those surfaces should own the project permanently. The server owns canonical state, and every client presents a fast local view of it. Sync is a product contract. That distinction keeps the product honest. Local device state can be optimistic, cached, or temporary. Canonical project state has to be authenticated, persisted, user-scoped, and recoverable. When a creator opens the same VibeChopper project on multiple devices, the product should feel continuous because each device is reading and mutating the same back-end contract. One off boundary for web and native. Cross-device sync starts with identity. The browser may rely on a session cookie. The native app may call APIs with authorization bearer. A native callback may carry an off-code or token-shaped value during handoff. A passkey sign-in may establish a first-party session before the app receives its native payload. Those transports differ, but the server should collapse them into one user identity before project routes run. One off-boundary for web and native. That is the lesson behind VibeChopper's native off-path. The browser owns the trusted login ceremony. If a native app needs to link, it opens a browser route such as /off/native callback. If the user is not signed in, the browser sends them through /api/login with a constrained return path. Once the browser session exists, the callback page asks /api/off/native link for a narrow handoff payload and opens the app through a custom scheme. The app then continues with bearer credentials against the same protected API surface. One off boundary for web and native. The important part is not the custom scheme itself. The important part is that identity normalization remains centralized. Timeline, upload, render, media, and sharing routes should not each invent a native off parser. They should receive an authenticated request shape, call the same user ID helper, and enforce the same ownership rules. A device type should never be a permission model. One off boundary for web and native.
Passkeys make this flow stronger because they give the product a first-party way to establish the user before native handoff. Email Bootstrap proves account control. WebAuthn makes returning sign-in fast and device-native. From there, the app can receive scoped credentials and continue editing. The creator sees continuity. The server sees one user-scoped account graph. The shared back-end contract. A multi-device editor needs a shared back-end contract that is boring in the right places. Projects are user-scoped. Videos and generated assets belong to projects. Clips reference media records instead of random local files. Transcript segments and frame descriptions are stored as structured records. Upload sessions have durable state. Render outputs become artifacts tied to the project, timeline, and export settings. Sharing creates a controlled view into the same graph rather than a copy of the project. The shared back-end contract. This is where many cross-device editing products drift. They start by syncing a file, then discover that the file is not enough. The timeline references source media. The source media may still be processing. Captions come from transcript segments. A generated music bed has model metadata and licensing context. An AI edit run has prompt, plan, tool calls, and artifacts. A verified export has a storage path and render status. If the app only syncs a project JSON blob, every adjacent system becomes a special case. The shared back-end contract. VibeChopper's model is closer to a media graph. Source clips, processed frames, audio transcripts, generated music, overlays, AI plans, and render artifacts can all point back to the same project.
That makes device handoff practical. An iPad does not need the browser's in-memory upload object to show that a source clip exists. It can ask the backend for the media records, processing status, transcript availability, and render history that belong to the authenticated user. The shared backend contract. The server contract also gives AI editing a reliable footing. A prompt can produce tool events against the timeline. A render can point to the AI run that requested it. A media panel can show generated assets with provenance. A feedback job can include project context. Cross-device sync becomes more than opening the same file in two places. It becomes shared access to the entire production history of the edit. Canonical state versus device state. The cleanest sync systems separate canonical state from device state. Canonical state is what the server can defend. Projects, timelines, media records, transcript segments, render jobs, generated assets, user identities, and sharing permissions. Device state is what makes the editor feel responsive. Selected clip, scroll position, current playhead, preview buffering, local drag state, open panels, in-progress text input, and local media handles. Canonical state versus device state. A web video editor especially needs the separation. Browser APIs can extract frames, read media metadata, and preview local files before every server-side process finishes. That is valuable, but those local handles are not durable sync state. Once the user expects another device to continue the edit, the backend needs persistent differences, uploaded objects, processing summaries, extracted frame records, transcript rows, and source media metadata. Canonical state versus device state. Upload sessions are a good example. A creator might begin a large upload in the web editor, refresh during processing, and later check the project from an iPad. If upload state exists only in one tab's memory, the product cannot explain what happened.
If upload sessions, processing steps, and summaries are stored as server-side records, every device can tell the same story. Source received, frames processing, transcript ready, upload failed, or retry available. Canonical state versus device state. The same principle applies to renders. A render started from desktop should be visible from mobile after authentication. A verified export should show the same file size, duration, storage path status, and project link everywhere. Local preview state can vary by device. Canonical artifact state should not. Cache invalidation and conflicts. Most sync bugs are not dramatic distributed systems failures. They are stale caches, duplicate mutations, session expiry, missing ownership checks, and unclear user feedback. A user opens a project on iPad, trims a clip in the web editor, then returns to the iPad view. Which timeline version should the iPad show? A native app retries a mutation after a network timeout. Did the first request succeed? A user signs out in the browser while a native token remains active. Which routes still work? Cache invalidation and conflicts. VibeChopper's web client uses TanStack query patterns, which are well suited to this kind of server state boundary. Query data can be cached locally, but mutations should invalidate or refresh the keys that represent canonical server records. The same idea has to exist conceptually in native clients, even if the implementation is not TanStack query. Reads are cached views, writes return authoritative server results, and long-running job status should be fetched from durable endpoints. Cache invalidation and conflicts. For timeline mutations, versioning and item potency are the two tools worth reaching for early. A timeline version or updated timestamp lets the server and client detect stale assumptions. An item potency key or deterministic request identity keeps retries from duplicating expensive jobs or repeated tool actions. This matters more when AI agents are allowed to initiate edits because the agent may retry after a timeout without knowing whether the first request reached the backend. Cache invalidation and conflicts. Conflict handling should be product specific. A selected panel can simply refresh. A timeline edit may need to merge, reject, or ask the user to reload. A render request can often be deduplicated by project, timeline version, and output preset. A share link can point to a stable view even if the project changes later. The mistake is treating every device cache as equally authoritative. The backend should be the arbiter for canonical project state. Deep links are navigation, not authority. Deep links are essential for a multi-device editor. Intent equals upload after account creation. They are also easy to overtrust. A link can carry context, but context is not authority. Deep links are navigation, not authority. A safe design treats deep links as navigation. They can include project IDs, selected clip IDs, timestamps, view modes, install intent, or callback state. The server still has to authenticate the user, normalize the return path, reject unsafe directories, and enforce project ownership before returning private data. A custom URL scheme should not become a shortcut around protected API routes. Deep links are navigation, not authority. This is why return path validation matters in auth and native handoff. A useful login system lets the user land where they intended after sign-in. A safe login system refuses protocol-relative URLs, external redirectories, and API destinations as post-login targets. The product can remember intent without turning intent into an open redirect. Deep links are navigation, not authority. The same rule applies to shared views.
A collaborator link can point to an exact timeline moment, but the server must decide whether the actor can see it. A native app callback can open the app, but the app still needs valid credentials to fetch projects. A passkey prompt can return to the editor, but the session still determines who the editor is for. Links move the user. Auth grants access. Upload and render continuity. The most visible cross-device promise is that heavy work keeps going. A creator should be able to upload footage, close a tab, open an iPad, and understand whether the clip is ready. They should be able to start a render from a desktop app and check the verified export from the browser. They should be able to click a shared view from a phone without losing the project context behind it. Upload and render continuity. That continuity depends on long-running jobs being first-class records. Upload progress should not be only a progress bar. It should be a session with status, source metadata, processing stage, failure code, retry path, and connection to the resulting media records. Render progress should not be only a spinner. It should be an export record with queued, encoding, uploading, verifying, complete, failed, or canceled states, plus a verified artifact when the job succeeds. Upload and render continuity. Once those records exist, devices can join the workflow at different times. The web editor can initiate an upload. The iPad can inspect the processed asset. The native desktop app can render the final timeline. The phone can open a shared link to review the result. Each surface is different, but the backend state is the same. Upload and render continuity. AI editing makes this especially important. If an AI run assembles a rough cut, adds music, applies effects, and triggers a render, the output should not be a loose URL. It should be connected to the run, timeline version, media graph, and project owner. That is what lets another device explain what happened instead of merely playing a file. What developer should copy? If you are building multi-device video editing sync, start by naming your source of truth. The server should own authenticated user identity, project ownership, saved timelines, media records, job records, generated assets, render artifacts, and share permissions. Devices should own responsive UI, local preview state, and temporary interaction state. Do not ask local device memory to become your sync database. What developers should copy? Normalize authentication at the boundary. Support browser sessions and native bearer tokens if your product needs both, but collapse them into one request identity before feature routes execute. Keep ownership checks on every protected project, media, upload, render, and sharing route. Treat deep links as useful navigation, never as proof that a caller is allowed to access private project data. What developers should copy? Make long-running work durable. Uploads, frame extraction, transcription, AI edit runs, and renders should all have records that survive refresh and device changes. Return stable IDs for mutation endpoints. Expose status endpoints that every client can read. Separate user-safe failure messages from internal diagnostics. Give retries idempotent request shapes where duplicate work would be expensive. What developers should copy? Design for stale state. Every client cache will eventually be wrong. Mutation should return authoritative server state or trigger invalidation. Timeline changes should carry enough version context to detect stale writes. Native clients should handle expired sessions and rejected tokens without corrupting local project state. The product should make refresh, retry, and reauthentication ordinary instead of catastrophic. The result.
The finished product feels simple. A creator signs in with email and passkey, opens the web editor, uploads footage, asks for an AI edit, reviews the timeline on iPad, checks a shared link on iPhone, and renders from the native desktop app. They do not think about session normalization, bearer tokens, object storage paths, upload session rows, media graph provenance, cache invalidation, or render verification. The result. The engineering contract underneath is serious. The browser and native apps use different transport details, but converge on the same authenticated user. Project and media state lives on the server. Device caches are treated as views. Long-running work has durable records. Deep links carry navigation context, not authority. Render artifacts are verified and tied back to the timeline and project graph. The result. That is what multi-device video editing sync means in an AI-native editor. It is not only cloud-safe, it is continuity across identity, media, timeline, AI actions, upload recovery, sharing, and export. Web, iOS, iPad, and native apps can feel like one editor only when the backend gives them one dependable project reality to share.